Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Chad approached me last week, and he's got some blessings that he wants to share with you. I'm just going to unleash him this morning. Is it on? Oh, I'm on. Okay. No wonder that sounded so good. Thanks, Marlene. Go ahead.
I'm a little nervous to be coming up here because I'm going to be burying myself to you all in hopes that it's going to give everybody else that may need it something to take away from.
Okay? Amen.
Something that they can take away from here. And hopefully I don't amble on or mess up. Like I said, I'm very nervous. Last time I came up here a little over a year ago, it was instantaneous. God told me, get up there and say something, get these people up for prayer. So it went really easy. I don't even remember what I said. But a little over a year ago, I came up here after getting prayer and spoke with you about breaking down walls and what those walls meant. And we build walls up for protection and to protect ourselves from the elements, protect ourselves from enemies and whatnot. But we also protect, I think, we build walls to protect ourselves from God. Do we build those walls? Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's a sin that we want to hide from God. So I asked God to help me break down those walls last year. And he did. Turns out I'm a pretty good builder. I built those walls back up as fast as I possibly could. I asked him to help take away my sin, but I just wanted to keep this one little thing over here. Okay? Just one little thing. God, you take away everything else, but I want that. I was wrong. I'm sure I'm not alone. I'm sure a lot of things that I come and talk to these guys about when we have the men's prayer meetings, I say, I feel like I'm the only one that this is happening to. Okay, I'm wrong there too.
Yes.
There's a lot of folks out there that have done the same things that I have done, maybe not in the same context, maybe not the same sin. Now, why do we go and want to keep that one thing? Well, that's free will. God's given us free will. We've become Christians, but we still have that same free will to whether we're going to decide whether we're going to sin or not, whether we're going to accept Christ's, I'm not very good with words sometimes, but his holiness, his blessings upon us. They're always there. It's just, are we going to accept them? A few weeks ago, I came up here. I've had a series of shoulder surgeries on my left arm, 5 of them. So I've my left arm is not good. Military accident. It was actually, we were doing a dog pile, and it happened during while I was in the military, so I can say it was a military accident.
While he was at war.
So, anyways, I come up here to get some prayer of healing for my shoulder. God had something else in mind, as he usually does, something we're going to do this. And he says, you know, guess what? We're not. We're going to do something else. So he started working on me, and he told me about something about you need to get into shape and lose weight because there's a serious battle coming along. Well, and I'm not sure that he meant, you know, just to say I'm not exactly athletic, okay? I'm not sure. So sure that's what he meant was I need to get out there and start jogging, although 2 weeks ago, things might have been a little bit different. That might have been a wake-up call. But what he meant to me, what he told me was that one thing. It's time. Let's get rid of it. And so I did, with help from my wife. I had to go to her and tell her, hey, this is not the man I'm supposed to be. This is the man I'm supposed to be, that God has set me out for me out to be. Like I said, I'm not great at getting out the words I need to say. In fact, I wrote here what I was going to say, and I'm not really following it very well. Let me get back to it real quick here. In order for me to go on and become the leader that I needed to be, I needed to die in sin, okay? I needed to get that sin away from me. In Romans 6, and my good friend Ben back there is one, he brought this up in Tuesday men's Bible meeting. Imagine that. It actually coincided with everything that I was supposed to come up here and say today. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live by it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Yeah. So that's what I did, and I came up here to get the prayer, and he told me this is what I'm going to do. And I didn't get the prayer from my shoulder. I got the prayer from my shoulder all right, but did it heal my shoulder? No, it still hurts. But he fixed me in the way that I actually needed to be fixed.
Right.
The shoulder was least of my worries. He also told me, I was also prophesied over by somebody while I was up here, that said that I would become that leader that I was supposed to be, and that I would read my Bible more this year than I ever have in my life, and that I would be more involved in the church. I would be more of a leader, more of a father, more of a husband in my family than ever before. And he was right. I no longer got up in the morning and said, oh man, I gotta read my Bible, you know. That's just my responsibility. I got to read my Bible. No, I want to read it now.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff in here that's going to tell us the answers that are coming up to some very troubled times. And I don't want to get into this. And we can talk about hyperinflation and the Islamic Brotherhood and whatnot. I'm not going to get into that. But we are headed for some troubled times. And I think that everyone here that has built up those walls to hide ourselves from the shame that we have committed to God, remember, he can look right down inside him, okay? He looks right down inside that wall that we built up. So if you need to break down the wall, that's something that you need to work on. I'm not coming up here to tell you and point out fingers or anything like that. I'm just telling you what happened with me, and hopefully what happened with me, you can take a little piece of and bring it home with you, and then you could share that with God and say, hey, you know what? I got this thing, and, you know, I went through a 10-year time frame that I built up a pretty decent-sized wall.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's you, pray for it. Ask God for your wisdom. Ask for his guidance. Come up here and get prayer. We've got an awesome worship team. Man, this is the best time to come up and get prayer. So I just... I'm not really sure what's in store for me. I'm not sure if I'm going to be a leader. I'm not sure if this was exactly why I was supposed to come up here and this is it, and I'm done. I don't know. I'm eagerly awaiting to find out exactly what's going to happen. And thanks for your time. Thanks for listening to me, and thanks for allowing me to open up to you.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff, Chad. I don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Good job, man. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, what's interesting to me is that he made mention of us praying for him and that kind of stuff. And it just kind of dawned on me, maybe this is my enlightenment and what I take away from what he was sharing with us. But I just thought, you know, it's not how many sermons you hear or anything that I would say as the pastor to encourage Chad to, hey, get rid of that one thing in your life kind of thing. But notice that God spoke to him, and God directed him. You know, one of the things that we do wrongly as a church many times is that we try to tell one another to get things out of our lives when only God can help you do that. Does that make sense? And so if you don't take anything else away from what his sharing with you this morning was about, learn this, that God loves you enough to tell you what's wrong with you so that he can help you get right. And he's the only one that can. I can preach sermons that give you encouragement and all that kind of stuff, but it really takes a work of God speaking and your willingness to listen, that free will thing. You say, what a great testimony of how God is working in Chad's life and many other lives, every life here for that matter. What a great testimony. I'm so appreciative that you took the time to be with us to share that, Chad, because I'm sure there are others that are going to be blessed just as well as I am with that testimony. I see myself so well. Dana gave me a birthday card this morning, and I looked at the picture of it, and he says, I think Pam says, are those pictures of your dogs? And he said, no, that's just a couple old mutts. And I looked at Dana, I said, yeah, that kind of fits us, doesn't it? A couple old mutts, you know. We don't have a great pedigree, but we do know someone who does, and that's Jesus Christ, Son of God. And we're in that family now, and that makes us have a pretty good pedigree, and I like that. I'm going to take a few minutes. I think the service has been full and good. We can leave right now, but you're not going to. But I do want to share a few things, and then I want to try to leave a little bit of time, just a few minutes more. I know that we've prayed for a lot of things, and like I said earlier, that's the only thing we have. That's the only tool we have is prayer. The awesome thing about it is God hears us for some reason, and we're grateful for that. But I want to encourage you this morning with a little bit of the Word, and so turn to the book of James. Has anyone ever read the book of James? Raise your hand if you've read the book of James. And you're still here? You are tough folks. James doesn't mess around, I'm afraid. Every time I read that, I always get convicted. Does anybody like that? I read James and I begin to think, man, am I far short of the mark? But he says some practical things that should encourage us this morning. And I just want to, we're going to be in the fifth chapter in just a moment. But I want to read out of the first chapter and tell me if this guy does just not slam home the information you need to know how to live in your life. Because think about this. Listen to what he says. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very first verse of the first chapter of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Oh, man. This guy is setting us up. You know he's setting you up, don't you? Oh, that sounded really good, didn't it? He is setting you so up. And he is going to clip your legs out from under you. And listen to what he says here following. He begins to take the wind out of your sail. Count it all joy when you fall. How many of you, before I go further, how many of you will raise your hand, be real honest, how many of you will raise your hand and said, yeah, I count it all joy when I fall into diverse temptations? So raise your hand. Yeah, exactly. That's my point. One of us that obeys that scripture, we just kind of survive that scripture. Am I right? But it is a good one, because what he's setting us up for is a recognition that we really cannot. That's why I think Chad's testimony is so good, because we really cannot do this thing. We really need the help of God to accomplish this Christian walk and way of life. So count it all joy. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You were hoping I'd never say that, weren't you? And if I was going to give you a title of this message, it would be The Power of Patience. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But now here's the advice. But let patience have her perfect work. Let her complete the work. How many of us, because we have no patience, do not allow patience to complete the work or the trying of our faith? That's the way. We always want to get out of it before God really completes it. Am I correct? I'm just speaking from my heart. At least I try to get out of it, because that's I think I'm a fairly normal individual, and I respond fairly normally. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect. How many of you are perfect this morning? Raise your hand. And entire. How many of you feel like you've got it all together? And you lack nothing, or you want for nothing. None of us can raise our hands on any of that, can we? But it is the most powerful, profound statement. Let me take you now over to the fifth chapter. And he says some other things. After he scolds, that's probably the kindest way I can put it. But frankly, James just really rips us a good one here. Read the book. You really need to read it several times a year. At least four times a year you should read James. Because you need to have your eyes open now and then. Because we have a tendency to pursue those things that feel good in the Lord. And that's not wrong. But we don't always feel those things that are a challenge to us in the Lord. That takes too much effort. I'm more comfortable where I'm at. It's easier doing it the way I'm doing it. I'm coasting along doing pretty good. I'm under the radar just enough that the enemy isn't blasting me out of the water, and I'm sort of halfway making it as a Christian. That's generally most Christians' philosophy or ideology or whatever, though they probably would never be bold enough to verbalize that to you. The only reason I say it is because I have to. I'm the pastor. I got to tell you these things about myself so that you know that I am not perfect. There's no pastor perfect. I know you look at these guys that wear the $500 shark skin suits on Sunday morning and their hairs and manicure and all that. Those guys look like they're perfect, folks. Ain't none of us got it together, let me tell you. I've planned now two or three books. If they ever come out and I go on the book tour, trust me, I'm just going to say read the book and listen to God, because I don't really know nothing. And I'm not perfect, because none of us are. And our ideology that we, or our thinking, or our idolizing of individuals is really misplaced. Our idolization of anyone should be placed entirely in Christ. Thankful for great examples. And that I wanted to mention that because one of the things James does is talk about examples. You know, one of the best things that we can do as we read Scripture is open our heart. And James is tough to do this with because the minute you open your heart, James, he just slams the sword right in there. Because he knows there needs to be a dividing of your thinking sometimes and what God really is doing in your life. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I think by the way the Lord orchestrated the service this morning, God is doing things in your life. You just don't always recognize what he's doing. But if you want to know what God is doing in your life, read James. Because James cuts straight to the bone and the marrow, straight to the quick. He doesn't mess around. He tells you, look, if you want to be successful as a Christian and get this whole thing done and done well, then listen to me. We've got some tough things that you need to know. Your faith is going to be tried. And if your faith is tried, it's going to have benefits, and there's going to be some things that come along with it that you're not going to enjoy at all. And patience is not a good thing to... It's a good thing to perhaps have it as an attribute, but it's not a good thing to pursue, but it is a necessity for us. Because if God is not working on our faith, if he's not testing our faith or allowing our faith to be tried, then the eventual working of patience is not going to have a work in us. You see, we want to jump straight from the experience with God straight to that perfect man, well supplied, lacking nothing. We want to go right from knowing Christ right to that. Let me ask you something. I don't know what trade or vocation you have, but it's pretty much my feeling and probably the consensus of everyone here this morning. Whatever trade or vocation you've had, you didn't jump from the minute you got the job to being the manager of the store. Am I right?
What did you do? Well, you swept the floors out back in the store, and you helped get all the produce in when the trucks came in, and you mopped the floors at night, and you did all the menial tasks as you learned the basics of the business. And then eventually, as you learned more, you knew more, you were more valuable, you got a little kick up in pay, and the more valuable you became, the more the responsibility was given to you, and the more you learned about your vocation. You didn't jump from square one right up here to a professional. You had to go through the ropes and learn that. Now, looking back, if that's one of the reasons the Bible tells us, don't put a novice in a place of responsibility, because a novice doesn't know what he's doing, and especially in spiritual things. You don't put a brand new Christian in as a pastor of a church. That's the stupidest thing you could possibly do. It will ruin his faith and destroy the church. And so you must learn that God is doing things in your life. And you must learn as a Christian that he does it your whole life. You don't just learn it for a while and then, okay, you pass. Go ahead. Good. Just live the way you want to. He has a purpose. If we believe God really knows us and has a purpose for us, and every preacher's preached this message to you in hopes that you catch a glimpse of your potential in the spirit realm and in the success of your Christian walk, there's great potential in every one of us. Most of us just do not believe that, or we're just way too comfortable sitting where we're sitting. But I want you to understand that James gives us some tremendous advice, and I need to get on with that. And so let me read the scripture for you. He scolds folks right up to the seventh verse, telling them what all they've done wrong and how they have abused people and they've cheated men out of their wages and they've not been faithful to the Sabbath day and they've not been faithful to the house of God and they've not been faithful in supporting the program with prayer and finances and attendance and all those things which a faithful Christian would do for the house of God and for God. That's just the normal service of a Christian, am I right? Thank you. Three or four of us are on the same page. Anyway, listen to this. Verse 7. Be patient. After he scolds them about all these things, be patient, therefore, brethren. I think he throws brethren in there only because he wants to soften it enough for you to accept what he's about to say. The idea is that he's in the same boat with you. We're brothers together. We're in this together. And that really is what... And I'm so proud of this church this morning. Gathering together as brothers and sisters, praying for one another, holding one another up. It's the only tool we've got. Pray for one another and encourage one another in the Spirit. I'm proud of your willingness to do that. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Do you see what he's talking about? He's talking about being patient. Why? Because this is a whole life experience. It's not even a day-by-day experience. That God gives you growth every day, but he has a goal in mind. Do you understand that? Now, we frustrate him all the time. You know, are you catching this? We frustrate the Lord all the time. He has a plan, and he gets you moving. Let me ask you this. When you were training your kids to walk, one time I was holding... You know, they should send instruction books with kids. You know what I'm saying? At this age, do not do this. At this age, do this. And I'm holding this baby. I'm sitting on the couch, you know, and we're just fellowshipping away. And I've got this, I'm holding on to this baby's hands, and he's standing there in front of me like this. And I don't know what I was thinking. This kid wasn't that old. And I'm standing there, and the kids just, you know, how little kids are, you know. Holding this baby. I'm fellowshipping with their parents and stuff like this. And the kid made a step like he was going to walk away, so I let go of him. Bam! Right on his nose. And so I realized, oh my goodness, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought this baby could walk. Do you know how often God looks at us like that? And you get so frustrating to God that he'll let you go. You know, one of the things that God does that I think is him having the last laugh is that sometimes he lets you have what you want. And what happens to you? Right on your nose. Because God really does have a goal for us. And you know how frustrating it must be for him to try to get us to where we can walk, to where we can go in a direction, get us, and then to get us to choose to go in that right direction? God works daily on your heart and your life, daily on my life. I'm not exempt from any of this. And the great thing about God is that He is a patient God. If He were not long-suffering, we would have been toast with marmalade a long time ago. Because God, if I were God, we would have cooked this church a long time ago. Because I'm not God, then you have a great God that loves you. But listen to what else He said. He has a goal. He has a direction for it. He wants you to be patient until the Lord returns. How many of you, when you started out being a Christian, had that goal in mind? Oh, the Lord is coming. Great. I'm going to be a faithful Christian. Then a few years went by, and Jesus didn't come back. What happened to your faith? Well, you had to re-gear it, didn't you? Well, maybe He'll come. And that's how we satisfy it and placate one another. Well, the Lord will be here shortly. Oh, I believe this is the last days. And I do. But my goal is to make it until He does come. I don't want to quit early, and I don't want to fall short. I want to finish well, and that takes patience and a willingness to let God get you to where He wants you to be. You know, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, you said, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. I'll be whatever You want me to be. And you were lying through your teeth. Oh, you thought you was telling the truth, but you know as well as I do, you only meant as long as you felt as good as you do right now. Amen? And so when it became a long-term thing, you began rethinking some of this. You started re-gearing your walk with Christ, and that's what He's talking about. He's talking about the ability to endure, to be patient, to wait upon the work of God so that He can do the complete work. Because ultimately, it will be what you want and what you needed. Are you still with me? I love James because he's just a kick. Behold, there's an example. He wants to give you an example. Behold, a husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Of course, that had to do with a geographic thing that happened in Israel, the former and the latter rain. Be also patient. He says twice to be patient and establish your heart. The idea of being patient is to set a goal for yourself and wait for that goal to be accomplished. Do what you're supposed to do until that thing is accomplished. And so the trying of your faith, letting that have its full work, is part of what you do, waiting patiently for the return of the Lord. What a wonderful song we sang that I pointed out to you this morning. When we all get to heaven, we are not there yet. So our encouragement this morning is that the working of the Lord produces the power for us to succeed until the goal is reached. Now, all too often, we think that I go to church regularly, I pay my tithes, an offering, and I do little things that the church needs to have done. I pray for the pastor, I read my Bible, I pray, I do the Christian things. Those are all required. Yes, those things are required in the Bible. I can show you the scriptures that require us to do all those things. Those are Christian things that we do. But they will do nothing for us unless we have the kind of relationship that allows God to infuse into us His will, His desires, His passions, His goals for us. And so it's not a great mystery that we're trying to uncover here. James is speaking bluntly and carefully, but he's also speaking profoundly that it doesn't take great brilliance for you to be a highly successful, motivated, power-packed Christian. That's what he's talking about. In fact, he's going to give us some advice on how to get there. He's encouraging us to be patient. In fact, it's not even an encouragement. It is a command. You be patient. My mom used to tell me that when I was a punk little young teenager. And all my older cousins were going somewhere, and I wanted to go. Anybody else been in this boat? Mom, can I go? No, you can't go. He said, just be patient. One day you'll be old enough. I said, but I want to go. They're going now. They're not going in the future. They're going now. I want to go now. And she said, son, and she rolled back her hair. She gave me this great divine revelation. She said, every dog has his day, but you're still a pup. And that's when I went in the other room and just jerked my hair out because I could not get this woman to understand. Problem was, she understood all too well, and I did not. But this patience thing, this be patient, because it brings power into your life. It brings solidity. It brings calmness. It brings peace. It brings the kind of a work in God that literally produces measurable things in your spiritual walk. In a year of being patient with the Lord, you will look back and say, look where God has brought me. Look where I stand. Look what God is doing in my life. And I'll guarantee if you just look back from when you were first a Christian as compared, you are a mature Christian. You've come a long ways. I don't even know what this has to do with anything, but I'm going to share. I surfed through those 250 channels that I have on my television. Anybody else got that? Dish Network, 250 channels, of which I can watch 5. Does that make any sense to you? No. It just gives you a long time with the button. But I'm going, and I thought, I don't know if it was an insurance company or what, but it was one of the, I could probably just, DVR, is that it? What's the other name? Where you can record all the things on TV. If I would just record the commercials, I could sit there all day and watch all them commercials. I'm watching this commercial, and this guy's racing down the road, and this beaver walks out with a twig in his mouth. Have you seen it? Walks out into the road, and he looks up, and this car's coming out. This guy looks up, and he swerves, and he misses a beaver. The beaver looks like that and just goes, whew. Next time, the guy's driving down the road. He's zooming about 100 miles an hour, zooming down the road. All of a sudden, a tree collapses in the road. Did you see that? Have you seen that? Collapses in the road. The guy screeches to a halt. And he gets out of his car to look what the problem was, why this tree fell in front of him, kept him from driving any further. He looks, and there's a washout in the road. There's a river running through the road. If he'd have gone any further, he'd have been dead. This beaver looks at him and goes. The guy looks at him. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but that's the coolest commercial I have seen in a long time. See, God's trying to help you. Yeah, I hate to say God's the beaver, but catch a clue here. You know, God, he knows where he's taking you, and he knows the pitfalls. He knows what you need to be observant of and be aware of. Did you get the imagery there? Get the example? I love that. I just love that. That's just great. I love it. I love it. Anyway. How do you get there? Listen to what he says, verse 9. Grudge not one against another. Now, I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of things you can do, and I can give you all kinds of examples, and I have for a long time, at least from the first of this year, giving you examples of things you can do in your spiritual walk to improve yourself, to invest in yourself, to do the things that help you to be a success, especially with the idea and the goal that you're going to finish well. Listen to what he says. He's just using some examples here to tell you how to be patient and wait upon the work that God is doing in your life. Because God really does know what he's doing. And by the way, he knows you better than you know yourself. You've heard this 1,000 times. The truth is, you just don't trust him with yourself. And James is trying to tell you that. And they tell you, how can you get to that place where you're trusting the Lord and the patience and all that, and that's working in your life well? He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. He's talking about relationships you have with the brethren. What causes churches to split? What causes people to leave the house of God and stop serving Jesus Christ? Somebody generally hurt somebody by something they said or some grudge they held or some bias they had or some agenda they had. And, you know, he just uses this word grudge as an example of all the things that Christians have done to each other. What a sad day in America when we come to the realization that our worst enemy is not the devil, it's not the U.S. government. Our worst enemy is sometimes the guy sitting next to me in the pew. Oh, the great apostle encourages us, confess your faults one to another. Let me tell you something, people. I'm not confessing a stinking thing to you. And don't be confessing them to me. And I don't want the responsibility of keeping the secret of what you confess to me. And I'm certainly not going to tell you because I don't think you'll keep your mouth shut. You might as well give God a hand because it ain't getting any better this morning. Why? Why? Because I have been in churches where I've seen people shred one another. Shred one another. Call people up to encourage them on the phone and they just shy and cuss you out. In this church? Yeah. I've been here long enough to be shot at a few times. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know I'm perfect, but you don't know that yet. So you just don't realize things that Christian people... Now, you wonder, how in the world can a Christian be a Christian and nearly cuss you out? In fact, I have actually been cussed out by Christians. Well, and I understand, part of it is because I'm not Robert Redford or whatever. But I also know that people get mad at God, so they shoot at the spiritual leader. I'm not stupid. I know what this is all about. And so I let some of those shots go by. I just don't worry. I just shot across the bow. I'm aware of it. This person's mad at me, so I stay away from them. I let them stew in their thing, and then eventually somewhere along the line, God and I and that person will cross, and we'll discuss this, and hopefully we'll work it out. And if we don't work it out, they quit the church, and I keep pastoring. Oh, I'm telling you way too much inside stuff, aren't I? Aren't I? Well, I want you to understand something. The worst thing in Christianity is for a brother to be mad with a brother. The worst thing in Christianity is for us not to love one another like the Bible tells us to love. In fact, Jesus didn't even make it an option. There's no option here. You have a grudge against a brother, you better get it taken care of. Because condemnation is coming down the... Oh, there's now, therefore, no condemnation. Baloney. If you don't live right, there's condemnation, folks. Oh, man, it's getting hot. Let me tell you something. You backbite and talk about your brother, God's going to say something about it. I call that condemnation. God's going to tell you what for and how to. And you should receive this with love that I'm giving it to you because I do love you. And so does Jesus. James don't, but Jesus and I do. James is just telling you right now, folks, just knock this off. I don't have time to go through the first part of the chapter that tells you all the things that the brethren were doing that were supposed to be honest and Christ-like people. And they're doing that. Why? Because the judge stands at the door. You thought I was kidding about that condemnation, didn't you? But it's true. So we need to have love for one another. That's not easy. I'm not always lovable. I'm the most opinionated dude walking on the planet, and I don't always agree with you, and you don't always agree with me. So that's not an easy thing. But I'm going to tell you what. You've got to love me. And I've got to love you for the success of your walk and my walk and God's blessings in our lives. Can I be honest with you? I've not been lying up to now, but in case you think I am, I want you to understand something. God's blessings are withheld from you when you don't love God's people. That's why he's talking about this. You want to know how to get patience? How for it to become powerful in your life and be something positive in your life instead of something that we have to endure? And you've got to have a right relationship with God's people. That's what he's saying. Don't have any grudges. Listen, verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets. Here's the example he gives. Who have spoken in the name of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. If you do not want to have your faith tested, do not speak anything in the name of the Lord. If you speak something in the name of the Lord, look what happens to people who speak in the name of the Lord. For an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience. Great examples of that. Read about the prophets of old. Some of the things that they endured for the people of God and for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, to get the message of God to people who really want their lives to be changed by the power of God and to experience God's blessings and all those things in our lives. There's a price to pay for your freedom. He paid it there. Your price is total surrender to Jesus Christ and love His people. Are you still with me? Boy, attendance is going to be down next week. I'll tell you that right now. Listen to this. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We have heard of the patience of Job and have seen in the end the end of the Lord, meaning what he did in the end, that the Lord is very pitiful. No, the better interpretation of that word is that he is full of pity and mercy. That's what it means. You knew that. He's not pitiful. He's full of pity and full of love and tender mercy. But above all things, now he's talking about practical things between you and I. If we have love, we don't grudge things each other. If my brother gets blessed, I don't get jealous because he got blessed. I don't have any grudges against my brother. I don't have anything against the guy. You know, that kind of thing. If we're keeping that pretty good and we're patient with that, there's some things that are going to take place. But listen, let me finish this up. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Yeah, when the enduring's over, we count them happy. And sometimes you got to talk them into that. Amen? You ought to be a pastor for a while. You have to encourage people that are just down in the spirit and stuff like that. We count them happy, but folks that go through tough things don't make it through that easy. And so James wants you to know it's just tough to do. But if you do it and you're patient and you endure, those examples of the prophets and, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ will bring power into your life. You have the heard of the patience of Job. In the end, the Lord was merciful and had tender mercy. Wonderful. But above all things, my brethren, now this is personal relationships, above all things, brother, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. What's he saying? Relationship. Don't call upon God to be make an oath and call upon God to confirm your word. When I was a kid, one of the phrases we said all the time, hey, man, you should have seen what old Jimmy did last week. We went down here, we did this, and oh, man, it was a great time. I swear to God it was great. See, we tried to call upon God to confirm the truth of my statement. What James is telling us, we should have enough stinking integrity as a Christian that we keep our word. When I say something, I do what I say I'm going to do. I shake my hand. I fulfill my commitment as best I possibly can. And if I can't, and it costs me, then I pay the price. Keep your word above all things. Above the patience, above the power that comes from patience, above the growth, the maturity, the blessings of God. Above all those things, in relationship to other people, keep your stinking word. That's why we have so much litigation in this land. Two reasons we have great litigation in this land. You know what I mean by litigation? People suing people. You know why we have that so much in America? One, it makes lawyers rich. Let me look at the camera. It makes lawyers rich. And the second thing they have so much litigation for is because people cannot keep their word. So if I kept my word, we wouldn't need a lawyer. What a concept. Think about it. Lawyers are good sometimes. When you're doing about 125 down the road and highway patrolman pulls you over, you tell him like John Hagee said the other day, I'm on my way home. If you've got a good reason why you're doing 125 miles an hour down the road, did anybody hear this? He said, I'll let you go. He says, well, officer, my wife ran off with a highway patrolman. I thought she was bringing her back. That John Hagee, what a kidder, huh? What a guy. Above all things, keep your word. Now, if you do that, the reason why I say there's power in patience, I'm closing with this, and I know I've taken overtime, but hey, I didn't get this till after 12 anyway. So, Listen to what he says. Here's the result. If you just follow the Lord, his leadership, reach his goals, trust in him until he comes. Make this a lifelong project in you. Invest in yourself all your life. Be patient. Let the testing and the trying of your faith produce what it needs to produce in you. This is what the result will be. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any of you merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Oh, now you know why we use the oil. In the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. That's the result of letting God have his full work in your life. There are benefits to being a Christian who walks with the Lord. You can pray for the sick and the Lord will raise them up. You can witness to the sinner, which we all are, and they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want you to know something. That's the goal. Let me ask you, what is life really all about? And what is guaranteed in life? Nothing is guaranteed in life. Only in eternal life. That's the only guarantees we have. If we trust in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. The only guarantee in life. What are your greatest needs? Well, you need shelter. You need food. You need water. You need a job. Maybe a clock to get up in the morning to go to your job. We think in the wrong terms. We should be thinking in terms of succeeding for Jesus Christ, not how much money we have. In succeeding in winning more souls for Christ and spreading the word and encouraging the saints, much more than we worry about what kind of house we live in, much more than what kind of car we drive. Am I making any sense to you? Now, don't get me wrong. Strive for those things because I think you should, because you need to provide for your family. I'm not saying that. But what is the most important thing is that whatever state we find ourselves in, we are content. If you'll let God work his patience, God will eventually take you to the goal he wants you to be. Be content with that. Because there is power in being unified with God. And by the way, it doesn't hurt you to be patient and wait a little while for God to do the great work in your life. But you've got to believe he's doing it. And I want to reassure you that he is. In fact, I want to close with this prayer. I'd like you to all stand with me, and I may need a little help, I don't know. We've already prayed for a lot of things this morning, but I wanted to pray for this particular need. And I know that some of you may feel like I'm putting you on the spot. I don't mean to do that. I really felt like the Lord spoke to me to do this, and I want to make this our kind of concluding prayer. And so when this prayer is over, we're not going to have another prayer. You just go ahead and we'll be conclude the service this way. But I don't believe God calls for divine appointments that he does not do something in the midst of that. We're seated this morning. We've seen different individuals God called upon, and we responded to that and let God, and God has done some things. I don't know what you were praying for or what you were prayed for by someone else, but believe me, God did it. So if you're worried about what God did it. Trust me, he did it. And I am a believer in preemptive prayer, and I'm a believer in continuing to pray for things that God has made a divine appointment about until God releases us from that. All last year we prayed for what? Does anyone remember? We prayed for businesses and jobs, did we not? All year long. Sunday evening we focused on that. Sunday morning we would say a prayer occasionally. But on Sunday evening we focused our prayer. That's why we have a little more freedom and time to do that. I'm just getting impressed that that's a need that we need to continue to pray about. As times get tighter, we need God to provide for us. Before we get out of here, you're going to have to trust him for your very next meal. Wait, we're living in the richest country in the world. And you've got forces that you don't even have a clue about working against that. And not all of them are foreign. Some of them are domestic. I'm wondering, do you need us to pray for your business? I want you to step out from where you're standing. Do you need us to pray for your job? I want you to step out and come forward. You see what I mean? You thought I was kidding, didn't you? Thought this crazy, wacky squirrel pastor, he just brings up these things for fun. I'm telling you, there's a divine appointment here. A divine appointment here. Before Jesus returns, and we're looking, man, come on now, come today. You know what I'm saying? Before Jesus comes, everyone needs to know this, that those things that appeared could not be shaken are going to be shaken. You all thought you had money stored away in your 401k that was tied to the stock market. Where's your 401k today? I had a stupid little, are you still with me? I have a stupid little fund, mutual fund thing I was putting in. 50 bucks or something, I forget what it was. It wasn't much, but I figured I'd ought to do something. Maybe God will grow a crop off of that, I don't know, but. And I wasn't paying attention, you know, keep it in there the long term, because long term it'll be, ups and downs will be all right, and eventually you'll be okay at the end. So I did that, wasn't paying attention. Price of that stock was like 19 bucks a share. One day I got to that, I'm going to take a look at this thing, see how much dough I got socked away. I opened it up, and the shares were down to $7 a share. I quickly took that money and rolled it out of there into another IRA fund thing. I was fortunate that I got out with my principal, but all the money I'd made in interest was gone. Wait a minute. Stay in the long term. If I had stayed in the long term, that fund's gone today. You follow what I'm saying? That which we put our confidence in. If I was to ask my son-in-law today, hey, when you get to be 65, you're going to be able to draw Social Security? He's going to say, there ain't going to be no Social Security when I get there. He may be right. That which we have such confidence in this earth is being shaken. And when that happened in the Bible, do you guys believe the Bible? When that happened in the Bible, God provided for his people. God provided. Oh, that God's people would depend on him. He'll provide the job. He'll open the door. Before I pray, I'll give you this one last word. You remember the Great Depression? I mean, most of you weren't there. Some may have been. But you've heard of the Great Depression. It seems like the whole country was out of work. Did you know that during the time of the Great Depression, unemployment, and it's a large number, was at 25%, not 100%. There were people working, but there were no extra jobs. I think no matter what you do, if you don't trust in the system, but trust in God, he will provide for you. He will provide for you. If it's not this door, he'll open another door. If he opens this door and you go through it, he'll open another door. Even if it's day by day, week by week, seems like you've got nothing. I'm going to tell you something. God is a great provider. And I'm going to pray right now. In fact, I want the whole church to extend their hands forward in prayer. Now, I'm praying this prayer. I'm believing that God is going to do a miracle thing in your life. If you can accept that and receive that, God will do that. And when you walk out of this church, walk out with the confidence that God is going to provide for you, and watch what happens. It will take patience, a little endurance, but you're looking pretty healthy to me. He's going to provide for us. Obviously, you're not here just flippantly. You have a serious issue, serious need. And if you're a person that's used to being productive, it's hard to sit home and watch Oprah. It's hard to watch her anyway, but I mean, it's hard to sit home and not be out there doing so. It drives me nuts. You know what I'm saying? After a day or so, man, I got to do something. I got to do something. My mind just turns to mush. I'm believing God to do something. Father, right now, these that stand on the altar this morning are not here by accident. They're here because they want to put their trust and their confidence in you, that they need a miracle. They definitely need a miracle from you. Father, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith. I believe that you're going to open jobs and opportunities for these folks, every one of them. And as I pray that prayer, I'm just praying that they will be receptive and open and by faith accept that and hold on to that until it comes to pass. That may take a little patience, but you are going to provide for them. And all of us for that matter, but these have special needs this morning. So right now in the name of Jesus, I speak jobs into their lives, opportunities into their lives, openings and job prospects into their lives. I pray for the right kind of jobs, the kind of jobs that will supply not only their financial needs, but give them more than their financial needs so that they're able to support the kingdom of God's ministry. Not necessarily this church, but wherever. But my point is, that's how you do it. You supply the need for your people that they might supply the need for the house of God. And so, Father, we just need your Holy Spirit right now to confirm in their hearts that you have spoken, that this is a divine appointment, that you have called them to this altar to confirm in their lives that you have provision for them, that you have set in motion things for them. That their hearts will recognize that when these opportunities come, that they will know that this comes from you. It'll be so dramatic, it will be that real, that there'll be no denying that you have done that. And that will not only increase our faith, but it'll increase their bank book. And their needs, Lord, will be met. I believe that with all of my heart in Jesus' name. And we receive it by faith in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. As you go, listen to what Jesus said. Did a great miracle. He said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. That's why I'm telling you, hold on to this. And believe this until Jesus answers. It's coming. But you've got to believe. You just got to trust the Lord. It's yours. Just follow. Praise the Lord. We're dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for responding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Give God a hand. Praise the Lord.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.